Okay.
Okay, we're holding here in Parshas Achrimos, and last time we did the Avar Benel on the Sur LaZozel, and now we're going to have a look at Ramban. Ramban speaks about the concept of Shadim, which is sort of a not a really understood area of Torah. It sort of smacks with a bit of, you know, people think of it as something superstitious. What exactly are Shadim? So it's not going on the pasuk. It says, "V'lo yizbechu oda sifchem l'se'irim." People used to. This was sort of in the realm of avodah zarah, that people would bring their karbanis to se'irim, ashehim zonim achreihem, that they go astray after the kohos called se'irim. Se'ir could be like losh soyer, which means a goat. It could mean a hairy one. Chukas olam tiazos lachem l'rasam. So you cannot bring karbanis outside of Isra Mikdash because that's considered like bringing to Seirim. L'Seirim. So Ramban says, what are Seirim? Ramban says, Shadim. V'cheinu oimer Seirim yiraktu sham. Loshen Rashi mitaras karnim. So Rashi says, it's Seirim are Shadim. V'omar Reb Avram. The Abenezer says, why are Shadim called Shadim? Shenikra Shadim Cain, Bavur Sheyistayer Haguf Haroy Oysom. Because if you see it, you turn, your hair stands on edge. It's a frightening sight. Vakarov, what Ramban feels is close to Pshat, Bavur Sheyiro Oysom HaMeshugoyim Kedimusirim. The crazy people see them like goats. Umilas od Torah shekenes over Mitzrayim. The word od, l'izvcha od esifcheya, means they no longer shall bring it. Means in Mitzrayim they worship the Seirim. Ashen zonim, that they stray from it. Kichol mevakesh also memaimen bem who zonim mitachas alo kav. Sheyashav kiyesh mishemet v'yera chus hashenech v'nera. So the first point the Rabban is making is. The word zona, the word znus, it's very interesting. When we think about averus, so arayus is one type of avera, and we think in terms of the physical pleasure involved and so on. And then we think about avodah zarah, we sort of think of it in terms of very ruchnius, ideological, not really something. If we ask ourselves. Does Arayas and Avodah Zarah have anything in common, except they're both Averis? There's nothing really in common. But you see in the Torah, there is a certain type of, the Torah calls it Zonim Achreihem. Avodah Zarah is called Znus. And he explains, on the level of the physical sensation, it is obviously a very, very different sensation. But if you think about it, let's think about both of them, the dynamics behind it. A person has a wife. He's happily married. It's a nice relationship. And there's a moment when a person can have what he thinks is a more enjoyable moment and leaves go of his long-term relationship for what he perceives to be as a momentary plus. The same thing is true in the context. There's a avodah zarah where a person has a mistake. A person thinks that this is right, that's right, the other thing's right, and that's over the avodah zarah versus a maminim. But there's another element also. A person is an Ovid Hashem, but if he falters for a moment and says, you know, right now it looks like the winning team are the Christians. Let me become a Christian. It's good to be a Muslim now. Let me become a Muslim. So it's sort of breaking, in the abstract, you're breaking a long-term relationship that you know is good for what you perceive as a possible short-term gain. And in that sense, it's very much the same. David Ezra, we had this before, a few pages before in the Sefer, where David Ezra speaks about the Sur LaZozel, and he says that there's a sod over here, and it's 33 psukim down, and so on. Avnezra and the Rabban explains over there that it's a worship to the Satan, a sort of a sense of since the Satan has kohos, trying to worship to him will get you somewhere. So a person says to himself, you know, if Ra has power and koach, maybe I can join up with Ra. V'chein shem asirim, he says, v'yikoru shedim. Why are they called shedim? Bavur shem mishkonam b'mokom shodut kigon ha-midbar. They're in a place that is deserted like a midbar. V'ikim etzi'usam b'ktzovas v'impas tzof in acharev v'nei akor. Let's discuss this a moment. The Gemara says, if you look at the Gemara, when the Gemara speaks about shedim, the Gemara says that shedim inhabit places that are not inhabited. So if you go like outside of the city in a korb and so on and so forth, the skeptic version of it is, because when you're together with people, they keep you normal. If you're by yourself, you're spooky and it's sort of that. Our understanding is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created kohos in the world and also created places for each thing. Let's give an example. When you look at society and you look at people who live in way out places, in the middle of nowhere, they tend to be non-social people. Now, you could say it's because they grew up there, they're like that, which is possibly true. Or it could be the other way around also. A person who doesn't get on with people likes to live by himself and somewhere in the Appalachians in a cave in a desert someplace with 100 miles to the nearest gas station there are places in the Bria that are not Yishuv. A sailor who's always sailing is a person who doesn't find himself comfortable in society. The places in the world that are not easily inhabited, like he says, the North Pole and the South Pole, or the Arctic Circle, the Antarctic Circle, and so on. These are places. So Shedim are the chelik of the Bria that are sort of anti-Bria. They're the elements that are anti-social elements, let's call them. That's what type of Bria it is. And therefore, their place is the place of non-inhabitants. V'day, it says, Kikasha Bria mitchilas maise breishes begufa adam v'chol bali nefesh at smochem v'machus ma'ri sodos. V'neschabra avasem koch aloikai, liyas men guf gas murgos chameshes hagoshes l'ovid v'l'gasusoy, kacho is yitzir mishnei yisodos ma'ish v'avir. V'hoye men guf in a nirgas v'lo musag l'achas men hagoshes. Kasha nefesha behemen in a musagas hagoshes l'dakusa. So Rabban gives the following explanation, and let's explain it. In the olden days, it was thought, and not the right way to say thought, the structure of understanding the world around you was that there were four elements. There was water, fire, earth, and air. It's not as outlandish as it seems to us. We today have 90-some-odd natural elements and another dozen laboratory elements. But if you think about it, the states of matter are solid, liquid, gas, and energy. That's still today. It's not an illogical structure. And since that was the basic elements they had, they noticed earth is thick, coarse, heavy, and solid. Water is less so. You can put your hand through water. You can swim in it. Air is still less, and energy is still less. So it makes sense that things, the more physical something is, the more earthy it is. And we use that, when you say a thick wall, you say a thick wall. You don't say a large ocean, you say a thick wall blocked me from getting there. So depending on how coarse or refined something was, that was the balance of the earthiness versus the airiness or the fire. So let's take an example in a nefesh, he says, an animal. So the physical animal is earth. I mean, you know, a salami is a salami is a salami. It's a no two ways about it. And a steak is a steak, really, real thick and juicy. But if you look at but the behemoth has a nefesh. There's some element to it, feelings, a sense of something, and that is, it's a bria. It's not spiritual in the sense that a human shaman might be, but it's a very fine element that we can't put a finger on it. We can't slice the dog's sadness. Just not that. So we call that as being made of air and fire. Things that I can't. It's not palpable, even though I know it's there. So he says these shadim have are made. They're physical beings, but they're made of the finer elements. That's why they can fly, because they have that finer element. He says, "V'kashar kova b'chol davar sibas havaya v'hefsid b'murkav arba yisodos, kachi murkavim ma'ilum shnei yisodos kibis chavusim bal guf chay v'sparim v'meis." So he's, the Ramban is sort of dealing with the issue of why would we say that these that they die shadim? You know, we die when the body is shot. Why would they die? So he says, because the body, everything in this world is a composite. It's a composite of different elements. When the elements disintegrate, we know nothing's destroyed, but when they pull apart, that's death. So Since the shadim are made of fire and air, that death occurs when that's pulled apart. Then it brings a chazal over here, in which ways shadim are similar to man, and which way they're not. V'lekachomer was saying, by the way, just to share a curious vignette or anecdote. I was once in a car with a taxi in Manhattan, and the fellow was from Dominican Republic, I think. Dominican Republic. A black fellow, and traffic was the usual Manhattan traffic, and gave us plenty of time for conversation. And he looked at me and asked me, you know, like a religious figure. I don't know if he knew if I was Jewish or he asked me, and then he asked me if I believe in Jay, and I explained not, and he asked me, well, you know, there are miracle workers like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, aren't there? And it was a very fascinating conversation. The person was a very spiritual person, a very nice person. But he told me something very interesting. He said he lived in Dominican Republic or Haiti, or one of those islands. He said there is a lot of voodoo and magic over there. And he said, it's full of it. He said he had a sister who was murdered by her boyfriend. And he remembers vividly the night that they were sitting for supper and she wasn't there, which wasn't unusual, you know, she sounds everything. But there was all of these sort of sparkling lights around. And his mother said, it's a terrible omen. She thinks something happened to her sister. And, you know, and sure enough, they found her the next day, whatever, was murdered and so on. And he told me there's a lot of things like that. He said, but in America, he said, he lives in Long Island, and he said, there's nothing. He said, it just doesn't, like, you don't see magic, you don't feel magic, or it doesn't matter. And it's very interesting, you know, like, is it that over there they're primitive and they kind of just talk themselves into it? You know, it's interesting to say maybe there's a time and a place when these cohorts could exist, just like Nevuah existed at a certain time and came to an end. Shadim also, the Brias, just like they inhabited certain places, they're not everywhere, but they have a place. Maybe they have a time also. I don't know. You know. Then he brings in a Chazal that there's Shishas Ram Nevuah Shadim, Shloshim Aruch Hashoshes Me Adam, Shloshim Aruch Hashoshes Yeshem Knafayim Kvar. It's just the three things. They fly, they know what's going to be. So the Gemara says they know what's going to be. The one says, no, they pick up the gossip. They're kind of good at tuning in. He said the three things are people, they eat and drink, they live and they die like people. And he explains the dying, you know, the way he explained it before. Let's take a look at the next paragraph. V'inyam asha amru, shemin masha osid liyos. What does it mean they hear what's going to be? K'betisosan bavir shemayim yikablu hasidus misorim azol hashechen bavir, v'im nigidei hatli. U'misham yagidu gam balek nafayim hasidus kashu minusa b'nechoshim. He says they hear it from those mazolos who are sort of in charge of it. I want to talk a little bit about this and extrive this a little bit and understand what he's trying to say over here, and he himself explains it. What it means is there is a part in the Bria that is actually engaged in carrying out Ratzon Hashem. So you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you have the kohos that execute Hashem's will. So you have Malachim and Shluchim and Sarah and so on, and they do it. A Navi tunes in to somewhere there, and B'meila, he knows the future. The Maral says he knows the future the way in which imagine the following. Imagine I'm sitting with you, and I tell you, you know, Yankel hasn't been here in a long time. I think Yankel will probably come. That's a guess, educated guess. And it could be he will come, could be he won't come. Let's say I'm sitting with you. I'm looking out the window. You're facing me. And I see Yankel coming. And I say, you know, Yoni, you're due a visit from Yankel now. So it's not maybe yes, maybe not. It's just that I see it one step ahead. Nevuah must come true. Nevuah is not, in the big picture, Nevuah is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would probably do. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said in the process. So it's one thing when you predict the weather, let's say, for 4 days from now. So it's a cheshmi, you know, if it's sunny here and it's rainy there, it'll cool off there, isn't that? But if you see the clouds with the rain in West Virginia, and it's traveling with a wind at X miles per hour, and we're an hour away, well, I can tell you definitely, it's not a prediction. It's what is now. It's just that you don't see it yet. So that's the mahalach of tov, the prediction of good, the prediction of what will be from the kohos that are good, is because you hook into the process itself. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Nevi'im a place where to sort of become part of that process, or whatever that name is in the Svarim. And this is kind of a hook in and so on. The Shadim are exterior kohos. They're not part of the process. They're not meant to be part of the process. They have no kedusha to them, not part of it. But since they exist on a little bit of a more spiritual plane, they can pick up on it, which means the following. What difference does it mean if they're leaking from the inside or this? That? What it means is they the etzim are not purveyors of truth. They are they pick up truth. And I want to apply this in a way that's relevant in many ways. We're very, very impressed by people who can predict the future. Obviously so. I mean, certainly somebody invests in stocks would love to have something like that. But for everything else, people who predict the future to us are divine, spiritual, and also we very, very much are drawn to them. They could be called Nikobolim, they could be called gazers, they can be called all sorts of names they have. What's not with the problem, so we can write them off as charlatans and for real skeptics, and that's that. But it's not always like that. You have people that have said uncanny things. Like the truth is many are charlatans. I always love cutting out, like at the beginning of every civil year, that they different their newspapers and magazines that have the futurists predicting all sorts of wonderful things. Nobody ever keeps track of it. I have, And remarkable how, I don't think they've ever said anything right. They're not very good at that. But occasionally, once in a while, you have people that are extraordinary. And there is a sense. They could even be holy people of sorts. And we're taken by it, sometimes troubled by it, depending what it is. And we need to understand, knowing the future is a sign of some contact with the spiritual. But the question is from the inside or from the outside. There are two nafkaminas, two big nafkaminas. One is, how reliable is the information? How much should you do? So forget about the religious aspect, but so-and-so has an uncanny prediction. Can we say that it's going to be, that it's kind of foolproof? If he knows how to do it, he knows how to do it. The answer is no, because by the nature of that type of idea, it someplace becomes false, and that's not good. Two, does it mean it's good? The fact that it's not, that's metaphysical, doesn't make it good either. Let's see what Ramban concludes. Neither of them know what's going to be in a very long term ahead. Like we gave the muscle with the weather.
Well, when everybody says it, when it, then in terms of it being good, good in what sense? And what context is good? Good is it as
good meaning
as
moral.
A moral.
Moral. Yeah, I don't mean effective. I mean good. Well, we'll see this. Mm-hmm. Let me just. Rak yodio ba'os lios bekarov. They can figure out a very immediate future. It says they sacrifice to Shadim who are not gods. The Targum doesn't say not gods. The Vohul Shadim the Lesbuhutsroich. They're useless. Yoma Sha'imam Shum Tsorech. They don't really do for you. They can't prevent real damage from happening to you or giving you real to'elus. They can't tell you for the far future what a person ought to do. Lo'alahai means they have no strength, no power. Lo'alahim means in this case, his strength, ability, yoma aleim, yoma she'ein b'shedim ayal z'shem koach, lakach ein tzorech behem ki lo yirov gam heitev ein esom. So Rabban says, the pasuk here is saying, you will be tempted at some point to engage in some sort of magic, and some sort of tapping into these kohos of shadim. He says, don't, because two things. First of all, at best, they are short-term gains. They can tell you which stock will go up tomorrow, but what's going to be in the long run, where to be invested, they can't tell you, and that's misleading. So they're very good at the near future, they're very, very bad at the far future. Secondly, he doesn't speak about it here, but this is in many places, the good in the sense of morally, what is the good? The answer to that is it has nothing to do with the ability to see the future and so on. And let's take a look where this applies very much today. People like going to spiritual guides. And, you know, people like Rebbes and Mekubalim and Rabbanim and so on and so forth. A person feels, and from the good of the person feels he wants to do the right thing, and he wants to go the right derech and so on. It's his moral self, it's his good self, and therefore he's going to follow Big Rav. Who is a Big Rav? So imagine he feels that this person can tell the future. This person says things that come true in a very uncanny way. Or he reads minds, he reads foreheads, he reads fingers, he reads whatever it is. We tend to make an equation that, I mean, a normal person can't do this. This person is very close to God, knows what God wants, this and that. And the answer is no. Knowing there is a small part of Asidos that's more widely available. I'm not saying I don't want to use like sort of strong terminology of kochos hara and kochos hatumah and stuff like that, but love dafka that this person's on a road that's a good road. So here you have a person who is telling you all sorts of things and so on, and you say, well, this, but the derech is not the derech. I can tell you an anecdote, a story that I heard it from the person himself. I'm going to disguise one or two details. I had a chava of mine, a chavrusa of mine, a neighbor of mine, who was married to the daughter of one of the chashuv, the rebbes in Eretz Yisrael, really adam gadol. They had a personal, there was a personal issue in the family, a medical issue that this couple had, and at some point they decided to go to a mekubal of sorts, who could read mezuzahs in Be'er Sheva. They went there without telling their father-in-law. She looked at the mezuzahs and told them personal details that were really astounding. There were things that nobody could possibly know. They were just blown away. This person, who I think was a good person, really. I don't know if that there was, but he told them, he told them how they can contact a spirit of a very big tzaddik, and a whole thing, and they started getting into it a bit. But as they got into it, and they would have these dreams, both of them independently would have their dreams, and it was very eerie. And it sort of, you have to shake him up, and finally he spilled the beans to his father-in-law. As father-in-law said, the best sign of whether or not this is, he put it down as far as, listen, this man could see things that nobody else could possibly see and know. The man is obviously very, very holy, and obviously very high madrega, and he's directing us on this path. On the other hand, it's creepy. It's beginning to shake my emotional. And so his father-in-law told him, the sign of whether or not it's Kedusha is where is it leading you to. He said, predictions and knowing and all that, that's not the sign. Sign is, do you feel you're growing in that derech? You're becoming stronger, healthier, higher? Or is it taking you in a dark alley someplace? If it's taking a dark alley, cut. Baruch Hashem, whatever it is, they cut, that their medical issue was solved at some point. And the person who told him was not a bad person. He's a person, actually, he later became a neighbor and did a lot of good things. I mean, he used his money to establish Kol and stuff. I don't know what the story of this person was exactly, you know, where it's coming from, everything. But it doesn't have to be out of malice. A person doesn't have to be bad. It's just that it's off the beaten path. You know, you can be traveling you can be on a road that's not far from the main road, but it's windy, narrow, with a lot of other problems. It's not somebody who consciously is a devil and he's coming to it's not off. I'll compare him just to some of Ramban. Ramban introduces us that there are para-spiritual kovos in the Bria, and these are called Shaden. And the Torah says you're tempted to worship them because they have something. Yes, they're quasi-spiritual. They're super physical. They're above the physical, so the Sukkim are telling you here and the other place Ramban brings, they don't bring any real toelis. They bring a one step toelis. But in the long run, they don't bring any real toilets. So that's why the Torah says, don't go astray after things that resemble me, but are not me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is a Tovu Meitiv, and he works through his Malachim, and the worship is only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not even to Malachim either. There are kochos that exhibit signs of some sort, something above the natural, the supernatural, but they are not that. Okay, we'll hold it here.
So how are you going to get the phone? You can email it?
I hope so. Let's